The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
It is indeed the final hooter on Radio General and loverubberly.com. The podcast for loverubberly.com. Parky, how are you?
Pretty good. All rested up after Wembley. Really enjoyed it. You were actually
What happened? History was made. Bonjour, madame.
It was an expansionist dream, wasn't it?
I saw plenty of fans walking around with berets and garlic rings around their heads and God knows what.
Were they proper French?
No, they were from Leeds, one.
Oh, right, okay. Okay. So it would be fair to say that a lot of neutral support was actually backing the French team this weekend.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Can we get it out of the way, the elephant in the room? Because a lot of people already will be saying...
Why is there an elephant in the room? Where?
There is, yeah. I think it was playing in a number 7 jersey for Warrington, honest. That was Tyrone Roberts. I thought he was dreadful. But, yeah, let's get rid of... Let's get rid of the elephant in the room.
Can't do that.
Attendance. Everybody's gone on about it.
Oh, well, yeah. 50,000. It's still a good crowd.
It's still a fair crowd.
Listen, Euston was shut.
Yeah. I mean, we were saying some people would have to end up going on a journey like planes, trains and automobiles. Just
took
me to
4 hours to get home.
Really?
On 3 trains and 2 buses.
And how many taxis?
No, a walk. Too expensive in London for taxis.
How many buses?
The budget won't go as far as taxis.
Yep. Yeah, I completely understand that.
I mean, speaking to the great Ray French, he said to me, Friday, 6 hours to get down, and on Saturday night, 4.
It makes it a long weekend, that, doesn't it? Especially if you're travelling such a distance and getting snarled up everywhere, like what was happening. But we love it, don't we?
We love it. We don't care how we get there and how we get back. I'm sure it would have been a long journey back for the Warrington fans. They wouldn't have enjoyed it. But them Catalans fans certainly enjoyed themselves.
Is it not a long journey back for the Catalans fans? Because, I mean, they've got to get all the way through all the procedures that you go through in airports these days. They do it every other week as well.
It cost them a fortune, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, especially this time of year.
Exactly. I mean, when fans go over to France, I hear them go, I'm not going there, it's too expensive.
How do those French fans feel, keep going over here? Usually, we get to show them the bright lights of places like Wigan, Warrington and St Helens. So for them to actually experience London, I mean, what's the price of a pint in London these days?
£6.
Oh, my goodness.
£9 at Wembley.
£9 for a pint at Wembley?
Yeah.
In fact, we should just do a segment of this show just on how much Wembley actually costs.
No, we're not.
No?
No.
No?
Don't want to.
I'm really intrigued because I know I just couldn't afford it anyway.
What, on the money you earn?
On the money I earn, yeah.
Yeah, a lot was made about the attendance, wasn't it? Lowest attendance in how many years? A lot of negativity about it, but it was a great match.
I thought it was a cracking final. Yeah, I mean, I was telling you before we went on air, I actually changed from tradition here because I took the game in on telly at home, went out beforehand, got myself a couple of nice bottles of beer, got all my nibbles set out ready.
Did you have French beer?
Well, yeah, I think it was. It was whatever the cheap stuff was at Aldi.
Oh, okay.
Other supermarkets are available. Yeah, but they're the cheapest.
Right. Okay.
Certainly around where I am, anyway. So there I was, all set up.
Well, you're the rubber club skint, so you've got to go cheap now.
Yeah. Don't rub it in. You're joining us next season, mate, you and your witness colleagues.
Yeah, witness are not looking good, are they? Anyway, back to what you're on about.
Back to my point I was making, or no point. So there I go. Got my peanuts out. Got me beers, stuck the game on. I've got to say, the BBC covered it superbly well.
Great,
this year.
Wasn't it?
Really, really enjoyed the coverage. I don't know whether you saw any of it when you got home by chance, Adrian, but they had a couple of really good pieces all about the history of rugby league in France and the way that it was crushed by the Nazis and the Vichy government and how it had to rise from like a phoenix.
I saw David Ginola's advert for it.
That was actually really entertaining as well. And Matt Chapman, who was the main host, he kept saying, he's after my job. He's look at him, he looks so good presenting. So it's quite funny. Really enjoyed the coverage that they did. And there was a nice little feature as well at halftime all about Lance Todd. Obviously, a very well-respected administrator, player, coach in the game back in the 1920s and 30s. So, obviously, we've got the Lance Todd Trophy. So it was just explaining all about him. I thought it was a really, really good bit of presentation by the BBC. So well done to them. We don't give them enough credit sometimes.
Certainly was. History made for the men from France. First non-English team to win the Challenge Cup. Our man Tony G, beautiful. Got his hands on the Lance Todd trophy.
Is that
as
what
well.
We're going to call him every time we mention him? It's yeah. Tony G, beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He does mention it a lot.
He does
in his interviews.
Man. Beautiful.
The thing is, I can't blame him because it's a beautiful trophy. You've been up close and personal to it.
Yes.
I've had it in the front room.
The Lance Todd trophy or the Challenge Cup?
The Challenge Cup.
I've had both.
I've had the Challenge Cup sat in the front room. It was a glorious night at our house because being a Leaf fan, we don't really get close to that sort of silverware very often.
Not real cup, you won that one.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's good. I've been close to that as well. That's been at home. But anyway, the Challenge Cup, due to my dad's work, he had it in the back of his car and we looked after it overnight. And then he had to take it into a school the day after because it was during Wigan's almighty run in the cup where they kept winning it year after year after year.
Well, thankfully, it wasn't Wigan this year. It was Catalans.
It was.
And Tony G.
Mr. Gigo.
Beautiful. Became the first Frenchman to win the Lance Todd as well.
Wasn't he good as well?
Double celebration for Catalans.
Wasn't he good? I mean, he was just rock solid at the back. Good coming forward. Looking at the stats of the game, 19 carries, 158 metres, dynamic at the back.
Before we talk about the Challenge Cup and hear from all the audio that we've got to play on this Family Hoots podcast, we thought we'd go right the way back to the year where we had an attendance of less than 60,000 at a Challenge Cup final.
Yeah, we had to go back a long, long while,
didn't we? We did. The attendance on Saturday was 50,000. Was it 628?
It was something like
precisely.
That. Precisely. Yeah. Let's get the precise figure because you might be undercutting it there. 50,672.
Oh, I was just a bit below then. Only by 50. Wouldn't have made any difference. Still around the 50,000 barrier, still less than 55. At last time that happened, 1945-46.
Yeah, so this would have been, what, May time 1946 when this final happened?
Yeah. Guess how old Rugby League was in this year?
Go on.
51 years old.
Oh, it was but a youngster.
Youngster?
But a youngster.
I bet your people back then were saying, oh, they've done well to the last 51 years.
Just like we're all saying
just
these
like we
days.
Say about Super League, not going to be full-time for much longer. They're 21 years, they're doing well.
We say it every year, don't we? That's the thing. And yeah, this was a really, really interesting season. Wigan top of the tree.
They won the league shield and then became the champions.
Yeah, top four playoff at the time. The other really interesting thing about this particular season is that there was a whole host of clubs who were coming back into action after basically shutting up shop for the course of the Second World War.
Bramley, Broughton Rangers, Hulkingston Rovers, Liverpool Stanley, who are they?
Exactly.
I like your accent.
That's about as good as it gets, though.
Practicing.
Yeah, was that quite good,
that's quite good.
Did you get that? Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Rochdale Hornets, Salford, Swinton, Warrington and Widnes.
Oh, see, I didn't know that Warrington and Widnes had packed up operations for the duration of the Second World War.
I didn't know this until we looked into this. Mm-hmm. Workington entered the World Rugby League for the first time.
So they were the Catalans of the day, weren't
they?
They
were the Catalans of the day.
The first professional Cumberland.
Cumberland, West Cumbria.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
This was another notable season, you know, Adrian.
What's that for?
The great Jim Sullivan.
He wasn't still playing then, was he?
He was, but he finished his career in this year.
All right.
It was a career that lasted 25 years and resulted in 2,867 goals.
Imagine today's players playing 25 years. I think the last guy who went that long is probably Keith Farewell and Jeff Grayson.
I can beat that. Do you remember Lee Hansen played at Widnes?
Yes.
And played for Lee and played for Wigan?
Yeah.
Although he wasn't playing professionally, he definitely played amateur for a good 10 years after his 15-year
Oh, Matt Foster did that for a bit.
Oh, yeah, Matt Foster was still playing up until just a couple of years ago,
20 years with both Widnes and Warrington in total, and then he went playing amateur.
Yeah, he did, yeah. He was player coach of a couple of Warrington clubs, wasn't he, for a time?
So, yeah, there were a few players that hung around for longer than 10 years, but today's players, 10 years,
nah,
that's it.
Go nah, on. they wouldn't stand a chance, would they? No. So for the fact that Jim Sullivan was such a... He was a real player of his era, wasn't he? He was a fantastic ambassador for the sport. Went into coaching afterwards, of course. And, you know, he's got records there. I mentioned there his goal tally. That'll never, ever be beaten,
no,
surely.
No, not at all. Not even the great Fran Obotica got near that.
No, not even Neil Fox. I'll raise you a Fran Obotica and stick a Neil Fox in there. Top point scorer ever in rugby league history. He got nowhere near. He's still 500 goals short.
Wow. That just shows how formidable that was. You mentioned it was the top four playoff. It never worked, will it, playoff? Never works. Anyway, four teams it was. Wigan, Bradford, Huddersfield, Wakefield. Huddersfield and Wigan got to the final. Wigan winning the final at Main Road. 13-4 on that occasion.
Scoring three tries as well in that game. Wigan in the final. Ashcroft scoring two, Cunliffe scoring the other, Norgren kicking a couple of goals.
27 teams in the top division.
Well, just in the division. That was rugby league, just 27 teams.
27 teams.
Interestingly enough as well, have you noticed in this, 23rd place Leeds?
Wow.
You wouldn't have thought Leeds would be lower than Swinton and Keighley on a rugby league table, would you? Workington finished a respectable 19th out of 27
in
their first year.
Not bad in their first year.
That's not bad at all, no. They won 15 games, lost 21 of the 36.
We mentioned Wigan won the championship. The Challenge Cup winners in this particular year were Wakefield, defeating Wigan 13-12 in the final. We also had the Lancashire League, that was won by Wigan. The Yorkshire League was won by Wakefield. What was them leagues?
Basically, they did it for... they split the competition up into when you played teams from your own county.
Oh, right, okay, so it was like a separate league.
They all counted in the big table, but then they split it up. So every time, so like if Wigan played St Helens twice, they would count as well for league points. They count as Lancashire League points as well.
Oh, man, imagine if you brought that back now.
Oh, that'd be mind-boggling, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Tell you what, though, it would be really good if they did bring it back. I might be able to see, you might be able to see top class rugby league returning to Widnes. I might be able to see top class rugby league returning to Lee.
No, that won't happen to Lee, man. Your days have gone. the County Cups just were knocking around. Lancashire Cup winners were Widnes, beat Wigan 7-3. Bradford Northern won the Yorkshire Cup 5-2. And every time I mention these trophies, I've seen Rugby League Curves did an exhibition of trophies at Bradford, didn't they, about a fortnight ago. And those trophies are there, look amazing. Should bring them back.
Is this where we need the Hovis music in the background?
Yeah. Need to bring those trophies back. Never mind the players moaning, they're playing too many matches. Bring them back.
Oh, sorry, finish that.
Stop it, yeah.
Oh, you finished that point, right, okay. Yeah. interestingly enough, this year as well, the Challenge Cup final saw the Lance Todd Trophy awarded for the very first time.
Oh, okay.
Who won it?
I don't know who won it.
Billy Stott was awarded the inaugural Lance Todd Trophy. He was a player that also played for Broughton Rangers earlier in his career, but by this stage had gone over to Wakefield Trinity.
There's a famous name that's no longer around in the world of rugby league. Knocking around still then, no longer with us, Liverpool. Stanley, who are they?
Exactly.
Yeah. At Bramley.
Who are they?
The name's still knocking around, but only in the amateur game, isn't it? Well, that's it.
But there's a whole host of names not included in that division. I noticed Lee hadn't come back yet. They started off the season after, for example. Interesting to see both Hull clubs as well, only finishing mid-table.
I noticed in this season as well, by the way, just to let the players play more rugby league matches, we had the European Championship.
You know what? I love these.
A tri-nation tournament between November and March, single round robin games with England, France and Wales.
You know what I also like about this, and it should be stuck on the side of the Trotters Mobile.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because they played matches in Swansea, Swinton and Bordeaux.
Wow. Yes. I remember them games. You said I used to always go to the old Widnes ground when you used to have them on.
And you said that they were played quite often at Widnes as well.
Yeah, quite a few times.
Which
is
like pretty good. I wonder how many times it was played at Swinton as well. The old Station Road.
You have to do your research, man.
I know.
The winner of this particular tournament in this year were England on points average, whatever that meant.
Yeah, so I think it was the most points that they scored by comparison.
Weird though, because England got beat by Wales 11-3 in the first game.
Yeah.
Then
beat
France.
Yeah, and then France beat Wales.
Yeah.
You know what? How that works? That works a little bit like the old Tri-Nation, the old Tri-Series, which Barla play for at the end of every season. So that looks exactly that similar thing to be copied off. Good stuff.
Good year, 1945-46. When we come back, we're talking 2018.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Oh, I got all nostalgic for 1946 then.
Yeah, so did I. I love reading those old names.
Are you doing the Hovis song as well? I thought I was in Keighley for a minute. On my bread bike.
Da, da, da,
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay. I was just trying to get you back in the zone.
Let's come forward to 2018. Rugby League had its big day out at Wembley. Everybody thought Warrington were going to do it.
Yeah,
but Catalans, those pesky dragons from France, decided we're going to spoil the party. We're going to create Rugby League history and get our hands on the cup.
Thought they played really well too. In the pack, it was just tough. It tackled really hard from the start. They got away to that early opening, didn't they? Opened up an 8-point advantage. Arguably, by the time 20 minutes had come into the game, really, it should have been 14, 16, maybe even 18-0. I thought they were that dominant in the first quarter. Warrington got themselves back on almost level terms when they got it back to 8-6. Then Ben Garcia went over right near half-time. And then they scored again, didn't they, just after the break? Lovely little kick through and Braden Williami going over. It was Lewis Tierney who opened the scoring as well for Catalan. And, Ben Murdoch-Masilla responding for Warrington. Then Warrington sort of really charged forward, and I was thinking they're going to confirm the fact that the favourites for this game and flatten Catalans in the second half. And Catalans just stood firm, didn't they? Really, really spirited stuff from them. George King pulled a try back for Warrington. Tyrone Roberts added his second goal. Then Tyrone Roberts added a third goal, but it wasn't enough to overcome the Catalans.
Defence wins games, and that's where it happened for Catalans, to me, I thought.
Yeah, although interestingly enough, looking at the stats, they made 63 tackles, which is unbelievable, to be honest. 63 tackles, and yet still come out on top and won the game.
Right, before we get some reaction from the Wolves and the Catalan Dragons, we thought we'd go with the legend, modern day legend, can we call him that?
Why
been
not?
Been there and done it as a player, coach. Not just in rugby, but in union as well. Yiston Harris, let's get his thoughts on what was a history-making day for the Dragons within the world of rugby league. Yiston Harris, history made here at Wembley. What does that mean to the game in France for Catalans to get their hands on the Champ Cup?
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody knows what it's going to mean, but, you know, for the first time, you've got the French president who's talking about rugby league before the game, and they've not had any silverware to be able to say, look, you know, this is what French rugby league is about. And now for the first time, they can go back to the south of France with a trophy to lift and taking French rugby league onto a completely another level. And it's always been in the shadows of rugby union, and, you know, for the first time they can stand up and be proud now, really, and shout from the rooftops about what a great game rugby league is in south of France.
And for the first time ever, the famous trophy's going to leave the shores for at least 12 months.
Yeah, and you know, I think it just, you've got to have consistency with something. You've got to believe in something and have consistency and trust it. And, you know, Super League did that over 10 years ago with Catalans, introduced them into the competition and have stuck with them and trusted them and supported them and backed them. And you know, I think now they're starting to reap the rewards of that. And you know, Catalan have done something unique, a group of players have done something unique, and I think it's great for rugby league over here that actually it's a foreign club, a foreign country that has taken the trophy away from us, and you know, we've got to be desperately trying to get that back.
You've lived those dreams. What will be going through their minds at the moment?
It's all a bit of a blare out there for the guys, you know, that's something that, you know, it would just be adrenaline pumping through the veins at this moment in time, and standing in front of the crowd, it's something that dreams are made of. It, you know, it's probably, you start to sink in when you sit in the changing rooms after you sit and have that little quiet moment, you have a beer in your hand and you're looking, you're sat next to your mates, and it's an amazing feeling, and one you can't fully describe. And you know, over the next few days and weeks, you'll start to feel that immense pride of what's achieved, and you know, not only players but, you know, Steve McNamara as well, you know, to keep calm in a really erratic situation over the last 12 months. You know, he deserves everything he gets to win this trophy today.
And their efforts come off the back of the 20 years when Sheffield were the underdog. It's happened again today.
Well, yeah, definitely. And, you know, you missed opportunities come in sport and they catch it when you don't expect them to. And, you know, I think that's going to be Warrington Wolves when they look back at this game. It's a huge opportunity they had to win silverware, and you don't get too many of them in a career. And they'll look at that, but yeah, you know, you're right, Catalans were the underdogs, but I think they proved in the semi-final that they were capable of this type of performance, and you know, they've gone and done it again on the biggest stage. So you've got to say that it's not a fluke. You know, you know to do it once, you know, can be seen as lucky. To do it twice, you know, back to back, is nothing to do with luck. That's just about, you know, ability and execution, and you've got to give them credit for that.
I suppose the Catalans winning today, it keeps the fair and the love alive for the Champs Cup.
Well, yeah, you know, there's been a lot made about, you know, the size of the crowd today and only being 50,000, and, you know, is that to do with France? There's a lot of circumstances, and yeah, we have got to look at revamping and readjusting what, you know, the Challenge Cup is, but, you know, you see the scenes outside, you look at the pitch and see the emotion and the, you know, the fans' emotion from the Catalans. You know, this competition is alive and kicking, and yeah, it might need revamping as things do in this day and age, but, you know, it's prestigious and one that every player wants to win, so, you know, it's here to stay.
It's certainly going to be one hell of a party in the south of France tonight.
It is, and, you know, what you do know about the French is it won't last 24 hours, it'll probably last 3 or 4 days, so, you know, I think the Super League campaign has probably been derailed with today, but, you know, at the end of this season, when they sit back and have a, you know, a glass of French red wine, they'll be exceptionally happy with what they've achieved.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I'm sure they've been having more than one glass of red wine.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Have you seen the footage on social media?
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it? Very colourful, very rowdy. Tons and tons of people. I've not seen that many people.
It'd be interesting to see how many of them guys that won the cup on Saturday and were part of those celebrations, how many of them will be here playing at the weekend?
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see, won't
it? Interesting, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you consider who is it that they're playing this weekend? I'm just having a look.
I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, Castleford. They're going to Castleford. That's going to be one heck of a tough, tough game for him, isn't it? You don't want to go to Cass with a cup hangover, but that's exactly what they've got to do.
We're just surfing Yeaston Harris. Now, we mentioned the cup's going to have to be rebranded and maybe come up with new ideas, but everyone's saying it should happen, but how are they going to do it?
What, you wanted me to come up with solve Rugby League's problems?
Yeah.
How long have I got?
Not long.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you know what I'd quite like to see?
I'd move it away from the bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I'd move it away
from
Wembley.
I would play it in May. Well, I've been saying that for ages, put it in Cardiff.
Yeah, I'm now a big fan of heading back to Cardiff. Yeah, because you're just right slap bang in the centre of the city, aren't you?
Yeah, that though.
You know what I'd be tempted to do as well?
What?
And I think, and I wonder whether this would work, because I've seen it in Scottish football, because they've gone with like almost a set of pool fixtures, haven't they, to guarantee your next eight. So you put everybody into like little pools of four clubs, possibly, or five clubs.
Sounds complicated.
They all play a match each.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Is this a version of the FA Cup?
Well, I don't know whether it's the FA Cup or not, but I've definitely seen it somewhere to do with Scottish football.
Right, okay.
I mean, bear in mind that they did have teams from England in it as well, but that's another story entirely.
So we've got a team in France in our league.
That's okay. That's okay. We can do it now. So the idea is that you split every up into little pools, they all play against each other, one game, so everybody plays that, and then the top team from...
A bit like the Northern Rail Cup.
Yeah, the top team goes through to the quarterfinals, and you knock out from there. How's that?
Easy. But just don't have to final on bank holiday weekends.
Yeah, and also as well, that'd solve this problem where a few people are saying with the league structure and having these six strange, weird and wonderful games, you could just have Challenge Cup games instead.
Settle it.
Could work.
We'll do it.
Could work.
Hear from Steve Price.
Yeah, has he got any answers?
Nobody was talking to Steve Manning after the game on Saturday.
What are your thoughts on that game, Steve?
I was disappointed with our, you know, first 20, 25 minutes of the game, and to go in at halftime 14-8, you know, I was really confident, you know, with, you know, the playing group to be able to, you know, claw that back. And yeah, it was, you know, as I said, credit to Catalans. I thought they defended really well. They were gallant in all their actions, and yeah, just our finer detail with everything we practiced with our prep. Yeah, it wasn't where it needed to be today.
When you did get into the game, perhaps it didn't go the rub of the green in the first half, the try on that far side, and then I think there was a half chance, the opposite corner, and then what everybody I think thought were a free play when the ball was out from Roberts to Brown, and he pulls it back for a knock on. I mean, These are the things that, when you think, well, it's not going to be our day.
Yeah, that's right. We weren't getting any of the 50-50s at the start, and you got to earn the right to get your 50-50 calls, and you know, they were earning that to start the game. So that's something what we need to address. Hopefully, we can get some hard. We're going to learn some hard lessons out of this game.
Well, when they scored that try just after half time, the boys showed the character, 14 points behind and got within six, and it was huffing and puffing. I suppose you've got to give credit to their defence, haven't you?
Yeah, as I said, I thought they were really good. You know, they come with a plan and they executed it, but as I said, we gave ourselves a chance. Line wide open with Benny Westwood. You know, I think that could have went to 20-18, but still a fair amount of time to play, but wasn't to be.
Wembley's a great stadium, it's your debut here, but I suppose like everybody else, it's no place for losers, is it?
No, it's quite hard to take at the moment, but there's got to be one winner, isn't there?
So it's dust yourself down and onward on at Thursday.
Yeah, we got to do a bit of recovery now, and we've got Hull FC back at home on Thursday night, which is a really important game for us to stay within that top four.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I mean, I can't completely sum it up now. It's a bit surreal. The group's done incredibly well. Incredibly well, executed what we wanted to do well again today for large periods of it. I just know how much money's been spent by the fans trying to get across here. The people back home were sort of heartbroken, they couldn't get across here because of the expense and everything else. So I just think, getting back to Perpignan tonight at whatever time that is and seeing the response there is going to be where it really strikes home for us. Our fans were great today and we appreciate all of that. I knew before the season started it would be a difficult start for us. I didn't expect it to be as difficult. And there were excuses. There were just some genuine reasons as to why our team wouldn't perform where it probably needed to at the start of the season. And the biggest thing that these players did, they implemented change in everything that they did, on the field and off the field. And it started to pay dividends for them. They've put some unbelievable performances in the second half of the season to secure the Super League status, and now we're sat with this thing next to us, which is a great credit and testament to the players. I'm not sure whether we'd win a Challenge Cup this year or whatever, but I was confident that we'd start playing well, and that we'll continue to grow as a club as well, and that's what we need to do. We're probably in the position to challenge for this year, but not a Super League competition, and that's what the club needs to do. It needs to keep developing and improving in certain aspects so that we can challenge for a grand final as well as the Challenge Cup. In the last 5 minutes I was thinking that clock's going to get down to 21 seconds and Sean Johnson's going to jump out the other side and score a try. Defence wins big games. We wanted to defend really well today. We said about putting a show on, and I thought we did. I thought we tackled unbelievably well early. It was ferocious. The other team made some errors, but I thought they were forced errors by ourselves, same as the semi-final. And then, like I said, the last 20 minutes, we didn't deal with that very well at all. We didn't play well in attack at all in the last 20 minutes, but the desire to keep the try line intact, has ultimately won us that game. There was huge to start the second half. You're 8 points up at half-time, and you've got to go out and make it happen again in the second half. You can't sit back, and I thought we did it at the start of the second half. Tony came up with a great kick there and would give us some field position, and we executed a play. So, yeah, look, Warren had their moments in the game as well. I thought they fought really, really hard in that game, but ultimately it was always going to be our day, I thought.
It was our day, wasn't it? And he was right about 21 seconds because he was asked about it's a better result than what it was last time.
Yeah, that was when he was England boss, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And in the World Cup semi-final 2013. So, listen, it was just a great result, wasn't it? A fantastic result. And I've got to eat a bit of humble pie here regarding Steve McNamara, because I've never actually rated him that much as a coach, and I think he's really earned his calm this season.
He certainly has, hasn't he? Like you said, he had a difficult start. Don't forget, this time last year, they were in the £1 million game.
Can forget it?
So they've had a sensational return to form to guarantee themselves Super League status by the Super 8. And you get the hands on the Challenge Cup as well.
If you were wanting to do a comeback season from the way that last year ended, this would probably be it.
This is it, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So he's living the dream down there, isn't he?
Tony G's loving the dream, as well, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He's
had
an up and down year.
Yeah, the last 18 months really, isn't it? Fantastic player on his day, and like you say, he's had his various issues away from the field, but it's all about what he does on it.
It is.
He's just been tremendous, hasn't he?
Last Todd Trophy winner Steve Manning hooked him in the dressing room areas around Wembley, and this is what he had to say about it.
Tony, congratulations on winning the Challenge Cup with Catalan Dragons at Europe. Reaction and thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's been a crazy performance from the team. We start very good, and it's been we missed some discipline the last 20 minutes. The last 20 minutes, we dropped some ball and give back the ball easy. But like as I said, everyone worked harder and tried to defend for his teammate, and that worked for us today.
the defence was superb in that last 20 minutes, but also you got the ultimate accolade. Personally, the Lance Todd Trophy, named after an iconic guy. There's not many people win it. Your reaction and your thoughts on that?
Yes, every English journalist told me it's crazy to have this, but like I said, I think my team been awesome. Everyone, I want to put this trophy for the team performance because everyone worked so hard and deserve to win this Challenge Cup and deserve to win this trophy. Today is a game, so I'm very happy for that and I'm very proud, and to make my family and my friend proud of this is just awesome for me.
You've got a game next weekend, but it's going to be one hell of a 48 hours in Perpignan.
I think we have a big meeting with the fan in Perpignan, so we see on Monday. Now we got another meeting in Perpignan with all the fans on Monday, so we see on Tuesday who we'll play next week or not. And firstly, we want to enjoy this beautiful time.
A beautiful,
beautiful time.
I bet he's still hungover.
He probably is, isn't it? But yeah, fantastic game from him in particular. Just one of many heroes. I mean, Michael McLaurin was also a fantastic player as well for Catalans.
Great for Wigan, wasn't he?
I know. You caught up with him afterwards.
What do you think the key to success was
today? Just hard work, working for each other. We spoke about how tough a start to the season we had, and I think that brought us all together. When the game gets tough, I think you get remember how tough it was before, and you really pull for each other.
Famous old saying, rugby, defence wins games, and that was certainly the case today.
Yeah, definitely. The last sort of 15, 20 minutes, we had to dig deep. We kept coughing the ball up on play two and three, and I was a little bit worried that it was going to get a try and level it, but fortunately, we dug deep together and we've come away with a win.
Got off to a great start by scoring within the first minute or so.
Yeah, it was a great start. The first sort of 20, 25 minutes, I think we controlled the game really well. Then we sort of eased off a little bit. The calibre of players they've got, you can't really do that. So it was a great start again to the second half. I think we scored first, it was 20 points to 6, and then we sort of eased off again. And then, like I mentioned, the last 15, 20 minutes we just dug in.
Certainly is a lot of belief within you guys that you can get the job done no matter what.
Yeah, 100%. Spoke a lot about the performance against St Helens in the semi-final. We sort of have to do a similar thing and go a little bit extra. And I think we did that.
You've won the Cup with Wigan. What's it mean to you to win it with the Catalans?
It's just completely different. It's different. That's the only way I can explain it, really. To be the first sort of team to win something for this club is, a massive achievement, and it ranks up there with anything I've done.
Historic day. René Cassé, very emotional. I've never seen the big man cry before.
No. But when you consider that he's been pulling his tripe out for that club for much of the last 12 years.
Man and boy.
Deserves it, doesn't he?
Let's hear from him right now. René Cassé, to be the captain of the history makers in rugby league, how's that feel today?
It's unbelievable for me, being the first French captain to lead the trophy. It's a huge achievement for me. I work a lot for this, I spend a lot of years with the club. I try to help the club to grow up, and I grew up with this club, and I'm very pleased to do that.
A lot of history with the Challenge Cup, and some great captains have walked up them steps and picked up the trophy. What was going through your mind at that point?
I'm proud of it, for my family too. I've done a lot of sacrifice to be a professional player. We work hard and we are doing a sacrifice to lift a trophy like that and have my name on the trophy. And so, I'm very proud for my family and my friends and all the family in France.
What are some hot favourites coming into today's game? Does that bother you in any way?
We are confident. We always, like in Sentinels, we were confident because we know when we work very hard, we are hard to beat.
What do you think the key to success for the victory was?
For our defence. It wasn't perfect, but there is every time one player to save another one when he makes mistakes. So it's like that. We are a big, tight-knit group, and we are working hard for each other.
And just like the semi-final, it was another titanic effort for you guys in the park.
Yeah, we are very happy. Everyone are happy for that. Now we have to enjoy the party.
It's
going to be a great party. What's it mean to the fans of Castellans to get your hands on that trophy?
It means a lot for the fans. For sure, there will be some guys crying. So, yeah, I can't wait to see every Catalans at the airport.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
There you have it, Challenge Cup final, done and dusted for another year. Well done to Castellans, and it would have been one heck of a party.
Oh, it certainly would, yeah. Commiserations to Warrington as well. It's so difficult when you get through to that final stage, no one remembers a loser, does it?
It could always be the year again.
Yeah, true. They have got the means to put it right again this coming week when they face off against Hull in the Super 8s. Other fixtures taking place this weekend include Huddersfield against Wakefield, St Helens against Wigan, Castleford against Catalans.
There was one League One game on Friday. Friday Night Lights, it rained, but it was a win for the
London Scholars by 20 points to 6 against Keighley Cougars. Well, 4 tries were scored in total, including Amari Caro, used to play for London Broncos, played in Super League.
Old Kingston Rovers.
Played at OKR, yeah, played at Bradford as well.
Yeah.
So good result there. That takes them up to their 5th win of the season. Still keeps them third bottom, unfortunately.
Sadly.
I tell you what, it's all hotting up in League One as well.
It is.
Looking at the games that are coming up this weekend, Bradford against Keighley.
What a match.
Wow, local derby galore there. Doncaster against Newcastle Thunder. Hemel Stags take on Whitehaven. Hunslet host London Scholars. It's the old Welsh derby between North Wales Crusaders and West Wales Raiders.
It's not that old.
Oh, okay, but I'm just trying to build it up.
Go on.
Oldham against Coventry Burghs. Look at this. This is going to be a tremendous game. Workington against York.
Even Eddie Earn was plugging it.
Oh, and if he's plugging it, well, everybody should get there.
Yeah, what a game that's going to be.
In the Championship Shield, that returns this week as well. So Sheffield are at home to Dewsbury Rams on Friday night. On Sunday, the action switches over to Barrow against Batley Bulldogs. Featherstone against Lee for what looks to be the decider for who will get the home advantage in the final. Swinton Lions against the Rochdale Hornets. And the Super 8's qualifiers, that is back. And it all starts on Saturday. Leeds against Hull Kingston Rovers, Toronto against London Broncos, Toulouse against Widnes, and Halifax against Salford is on Sunday.
Some great games to look ahead to there, and 1-2 issues will be done and dusted as well.
Very much so, very much so. Right, our final word comes from Barrow coach Paul Crary. I caught up with him very recently to hear all about how things are progressing at Barrow and his hopes for the remainder of the season.
We just try to win the target games and survive. And again, the next game for us is Batley, and then Swinton, and then 2 hard away games at, I think, Dewsbury and Featherstone.
So the next 2 you can really pinpoint, Kai?
Yeah, I think so. We beat Batley before, but it was on the death. Little Ryan Johnson got us a try on the death. They've sort of hit the straps again, Batley, and I think they all go through a phase of losing players and losing when you're part-time teams. And, you know, we need to be ready for Batley. We need one more win, I think, to secure. We might be safe now. We're 7 points clear now, and I think that means now that Swinton have got to win 5 of the... Four or five of the game. I think they've got 5 games left, and I think they've got to win 4 of them, which is going to be difficult when you've got us, Fev and Lee and teams like that. So, you know, we probably might be safe, but we just want to make sure, and we want to stay up on merit by working hard and getting a couple of wins before the end of the year.
A word in that wider context, because obviously Barrow has been in the news for, you know, different funding things and all various other distractions, you can say. How have you been able to keep the players sort of in check?
We had a spell there where it was really difficult. We had, you know, the Joe Bullock incident where, you know, Wigan met Joe and it really unsettled him. We didn't know about it at first, but then we did. And then it all erupted, and now we've come to a deal with Wigan, and that's out the way. And then we've lost Wigan, so that was a distraction in itself. And then we had the club putting a statement out again about money, and some of these kids have been at clubs where they've, you know, had money before. Mm-hmm. But Stevie Neal, the chairman, come in and... he settled things down, and the other chairman, Dave Sharp, decided to resign with 10 games to go after the statement was made that put the cat among the pigeons, really. So, you know, it was a really difficult period for the coaching staff because we were left holding the baby because the current board is pretty inexperienced, and we've been around professional rugby and rugby league all our lives. So, so we, you know, we sort of like took a little bit of control in terms of guiding the players and sitting them down, and then Steve did a good job as well. And so with all that, with the distraction we've had, the chairman leaving, and you know, we come out the other end just by working hard, being strong at times with the players and settling them down, and just going about our business and keeping it a real happy camp and not putting too much pressure on anyone. And we haven't done that all year. You know, we've tended to take the pressure and put the pressure on our coaching team and deal with the media that way rather than slating the players in the press for defeats and blaming, you know, the chairman leaving and all that. We've just dealt with it ourselves. And I think, you know, if we do stay up this year, it'll be a massive, massive achievement for what's gone on off the field and around us all year, and early form, you know, has helped to stay up, really.
You have put in some notable performances this season, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We drew with Toronto 8-8. We played them in the Challenge Cup. They were at full strength. We got beat by a try on the bell, where they fully went 80-90 metres on us. We beat Sheffield a few twice now, Batley, Rochdale. We drew with Swinton twice, and you know, we've been really competitive, and that's with probably 13 or 14 of our frontline players. Shane Toll, season long injury, Luke Cresswell, Lewis Charnock, you know, he's played one game at London. Tom Walker has been amazing for us, decided to get a job with the police force and then had to go away. He'll be back next year, you know, and things like that. So it's been really, really difficult period. Yeah, a real difficult period for us, and you know, we've come out the other end, and like I say, we've had 13 frontline players, and we trained really hard at the start of the year knowing we had to start the season well, and that's put us in this position we're in now. So, you know, it's about riding the storm, getting a good start, riding the storm and sitting back and picking up a few wins in the eights that'll help us stay safe.